So, hello and welcome to Europe in My Backyard. I'm Paula Wiseman, and over the course of the following weekly programmes, we're going to be hearing about the many ways in which European cohesion policy impacts us all on our daily lives. So today, I am lucky enough to be joined on Zoom by Brian Riney from the Southern Regional Assembly, and he's going to be talking to me about the Blue Green City project and his work at the Assembly. And then in the second half of the programme, I'm going to be joined by Tom Dooley, the primary investigator on the Ocean Demo project. So welcome, Brian. How are you?
Very good, Paula. Thanks so much for having me.
No problems at all. Okay, so do you want to maybe, should we start off by you talking a little bit about the work that you do at the Southern Regional Assembly?
Yeah, I suppose just for your listeners, just to explain that the Southern Region covers all of Munster, plus the counties of Kilkenny, Carlow and Wexford. And the population is in around 1.6 million. And ourselves in Assembly, we've a very important role in bringing the work of the EU closer to the citizen. We're a national contact point and a first level control for a number of European programmes. And these programmes then are divvied up into projects which give people the opportunity to work with EU partners across Europe to address common economic, environmental and social challenges. We're also the managing authority for the regional operational programme. This is the structural funds that come to Ireland. And the last programme was a funding package of 500 million from the European Regional Development Funds and the Irish Exchequer. So significant amount of money.
Yeah.
And that's been found itself into the investment and rejuvenation of different things around the region, the Apple Market in Waterford, Mary Ellen's Bridge in Cork, the Abbey Creative Quarter in Kilkenny. And currently that regional operational programme is being reviewed and a new one will come out later on this year. And then my role then, I'm a regional planner. Mm-hmm. And as a regional tier of local government, we have distilled national economic and planning policy into what we call a regional spatial and economic strategy, the RESUS for short. So it's a long-term strategy that supports the implementation of Project Ireland 2040. And government economic policies. And we have a role to assist local authorities to align with our RESUS, and that ensures that, you know, from a national level, a regional level and local level, all those plans are speaking to one another, they're all aligning with one another and they're progressing in a coordinated manner.
Wow, you've certainly planning ahead there anyway, Brian.
There's a lot in there, Paula, yeah.
There really is. So we're going to talk about the Blue Green City project that you're working on at the moment. It's an Interreg Europe project. So do you want to tell me a little bit about the project and its aims and what it's all about?
Sure, yeah. So the project itself seeks to improve policies that promote blue-green infrastructure and nature-based solutions. So these policies, they could be contained in a regional strategy like ours, or it can try and influence the European Regional Development Fund spending in a region. So it depends on the jurisdiction, depends on the region, depends what your priorities are. So it aims to promote these concepts through all the eight international partners that are involved in the project, by all these partners learning from one another and collaborating with each other to find solutions to challenges. So there's a big emphasis on working with stakeholders in your own region to identify the blockages and how to advance blue-green infrastructure, nature-based implementation. And then by better defining the problems you're trying to solve at a regional level, the clearer you can present that to the international partners, and then together you can search for solutions.
Wow. So can you explain to us what the blue-green infrastructure and nature-based solutions are? What's that all about?
Yeah. So blue-green infrastructure, it's an umbrella term for green spaces and water environment that we contain in a settlement or even a broader area. So examples would be a park or a wetland. But we get services from this infrastructure. So from a wetland, it can be used as a flood mitigation measure for settlement. Obviously, there's biodiversity elements there as well. And a park can be used for microcooling in a city environment, or as we know from lockdown conditions, there's great health and well-being benefits from it. So it's referred to as infrastructure because it's considered to be as important as any other type of infrastructure. So I tend to think of the term as a framework that provides us with a load of services, but that framework must be maintained, enhanced into the future.
Yeah.
And then nature-based solutions, they're related, but they're slightly different. They're nature-inspired actions that provide, first and foremost, to provide benefits for biodiversity, but they simultaneously provide social and economic benefits. So an example would be a green roof. So provides biodiversity, can provide pollination services, but it also reduces stormwater runoff. So by holding on, retaining that water, it prevents it getting into the public system, which reduces cost on the public purse. And it can be very effective. They can retain water. They have water retention rates of up to 90%. So that's what they are. I tend to look at them as a series of methodologies that, I suppose, assist biodiversity on one side, but assist us then for our societal challenges that we have. And they're very important because they all assist us to create more attractive places. And by doing that, that attracts highly skilled people to assessment. And that's a big part of our national and regional economic strategy. Simply put, you know, highly skilled people are attracted to attractive areas. So this is where blue-green infrastructure, nature-based solutions become extremely important. They help us deliver that effective placemaking.
Yeah. So what was it that made you apply for the Blue Green City project? And how does it help your organisation?
Yeah. So essentially what we're doing, and my job and my colleague's job, is to implement the RESIS, the Regis Spatial Economic Strategy. So we see this project as an implementation tool. It exposes us to innovations across Europe. And what it does as well, Paula, it links us to similar organizations and similar people across Europe who are facing the same challenges.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might be further ahead of us on the road, and we can follow their path and, you know, see what they've tried and tested, where they failed, and what we can learn from that. So it's very useful, I suppose, from our perspective, that we're thinking beyond ourselves in the region, having a look at what's happening in other places and exposing us to those ideas, and then trying them out in our own region then.
Yeah. So, I mean, what kind of issues have been raised so far with the blue-green infrastructure and nature-based solutions?
So we would have consulted with a lot of various stakeholders in our region, from national and local background. So I think what the core of the issue is when you consult with people is an understanding of what these concepts are and how to apply them, because they sound complex. And over the past while, I suppose we've been concerned, when we look at infrastructure project, we look at the gray solutions, the engineering solutions, but bringing the green element in there, that's quite new for a lot of our organizations. And of course, if you're in charge of a project, you have time constraints, you have cost constraints, and you're going to ask yourself, what's the cost? You know, what do I need to do different here? So the core of the issue is mainstreaming these concepts into everything we do. So it's that it comes part of our design proposals at the earliest stage. It comes part of our plans or our policies that we create, and it's an integral part of them. That's the core of the issue, I think, that we have. And we're not alone here as well, Paula. Other member states, the regions that we talked as well, they struggle with this particular challenge.
Yeah. No, it must be great to be part of that network. If you've got questions about things, there's other people in your network that can help with any issues that arise.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think once we start to better define the problem with our stakeholders, we're then able to return to the partnership and say, look, this is the issue that we're experiencing in our region. What are solutions in your area?
Yeah.
And we came across some very interesting concepts. So I'll give it two examples. One would be in Vekwa in Sweden. So these guys are very green in everything they do. From 1992, they put out a statement saying that they want to become carbon free in 20 or 30 years.
Wow.
And are well on the road into doing that. So everything they do was green. But they started looking at creating blue-green infrastructure strategies about 15 years ago. So they started preparing a strategy and identifying, well, what do we have and how can we maintain it? And from that, then they started developing a number of guidance documents for everything, for parks, for green roofs, for nature-based sustainable drainage systems, all these things. So that, I suppose, delves down then to how you actually do it. How does the rubber hit the road, so to speak, in terms of implementation? We looked at that and we said, well, that's where we should start first. So now at this stage in our region, we have two local authorities, Cork City Council and Limerick City and County Council, following that, I suppose, path where they're looking at, they're actually developing blue green infrastructure strategies for their cities. So that's starting on the path of Vekwa. The other, I suppose, good practice that we came across was from Ingolstadt in Germany. They have a species-centered approach to design. So a lot of ways, I suppose, in Europe, that how we look at biodiversity is that we look at the impact. So a developer goes off and designs something, a building or whatever he's developing, and submits the application. And it's only at that stage then that the implications for species or habitats are unraveled. But the Ingolstadt approach is to look at the life cycle of target species and incorporate that into the design at the very early stage, thereby reducing the time delays and cost then that are associated with assessing the impact and through the environmental assessments at a later stage. So it's a very good, innovative way and a very simple way of bringing the needs of species into the, I suppose, the earliest thinking of a project. So these were, I suppose, very practical solutions for us, very tangible solutions for us, and I suppose spoke clearly to the issue and problems that we uncovered in our own region.
That's great. Do you know what I mean? Other countries, they try something, as I say, these guys trying something 15 years ago and they've kind of gone through the process. And it's great that you can kind of learn from other countries and then implement your own systems in Ireland. It's an incredible system, really.
And that's the real benefit of these projects, Paula, that we're all quite similar across Europe and the issues that we face. So it's always beneficial to collaborate and discuss these issues and work on them with each other. I think that's essentially how things are done, and that's how progress is achieved, really. I will say one thing about European projects that you have to be committed to them. It's like any piece of work. If you're getting into it, you fully have to commit to it. If you're coming into it saying, a bit of finance, that's not bad, and I'll tip away at it, that won't work. You won't get the maximum out of it. I suppose we can say that for anything, Paula, but European projects, definitely if you commit to it and if you go in there with a positive mindset and you work well with people, you'll do very, very well over it.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm hearing all these stuff, the amount of work that goes into these proposals for funding, it's a lengthy old process. And if you're not, as you say, if you're not committed and if you're not fully in for the long haul, then just don't do it.
That's it. I've come across people who work on life projects. Life projects are they're fantastic projects. They're, I worked in a project alongside someone who worked in a life project in improving the water quality of a river catchment in North Cork, and I mean the commitment that they had to it. But it came from themselves as well, because people who are involved in European projects, but I'd say specifically biodiversity projects, they're just so much into it that they will set the standards really high for themselves. So they're the best type of people to be involved in European projects because they'll give it 100%. But yeah, they are a commitment, all right, definitely. But as we can see in a way in the southern region is that these projects are they're very effective for us, and they're quite enjoyable as well. They're quite enjoyable for us to be exposed to all those different opinions from across Europe and
That's what it's all about, Brian. You've got to enjoy what you do at the end of the day, or it's going to be a long old slog.
absolutely you do I think if we go into a job and you enjoy it and you enjoy the people that you meet, I think that's a fantastic thing to be saying about yourself. And I'm particularly lucky in this job anyway. I really, really enjoy it.
Anyway, so thank you so much for chatting with me today, Brian. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.